Hi, this is Uxbridge High School Principal Mike Rubin, and this is the Whiten Intermediate School Town Hall from August 19th, being shared with you in podcast form here on our Uxbridge High School Spartan Podcast.
In last hour's parent meeting, thank you, Ms. Belvo, for setting the stage. I have big shoes to fill this hour, but did want to just make you aware that really tonight's goal is to clarify any information that you have in preparation for the deadline of tomorrow to complete the survey for families to choose which model they will be choosing for their children for the start of the school year. I would say that either this evening or the tomorrow morning, Dr. Tiano will be sharing out that survey link again. So if you have not completed the survey, we really encourage you to do so as soon as possible. A lot of the work that we are doing and have to do to prepare for the start of the school year really depends on the numbers and really depends on all of you completing that survey. So with that being said, I do want to review the three models and sort of the three choices. Actually, there's two choices and then a third cohort that we are providing to students in Uxbridge and particularly at Whiten. So we have our remote model, which would be students are 100% remote. That model, as we have said, both at Taft and at the high school throughout the summer, that model is going to look very different than it did in the spring. Students that are in 100% remote are still going to be following a typical schedule as if they were in person. They will be doing their work and following their schedule during the school day hours, during the typical school day hours. They will have the same academic classes, the same core classes and their specials classes. Attendance will be taken, grades will be given, live sessions will be, they will be required to connect with their teachers in live sessions. They'll be doing work asynchronously as well as synchronously. Like I said, very different than what was seen in some instances in the spring. We are looking at, and again, it all really depends on the numbers of remote students versus hybrid students, but we are looking at assigning a remote teacher for each of the grade levels who will be responsible for teaching the students that are 100% remote, as well as the students that are remote on their opposite hybrid days. A couple of questions that came up with the remote model is in regards to Chromebooks, textbooks, and any materials that students may need for their classes. Any textbooks that are if a student was in person, any materials that we provide for students that are in person will also be provided to those students for remote learning as well. Again, the platforms that are going to be used for remote learning, as well as the hybrid learning, whether you're in person or remote, is going to be Google Classroom, and then some of our other programs like ST Math and Freckle, and some of our other programs that we used in the spring. That pretty much sums up the remote model. As far as the hybrid model, again, this was shared several times. We're still, our schedule still will look where there will be two cohorts of students for the hybrid model, Monday, Tuesday in person, and Thursday, Friday remote, and Thursday, Friday in person, Monday, Tuesday remote. It will be remote for all students on a Wednesday, and it will be a half day of synchronous learning in the morning and asynchronous learning in the afternoon. And that second half of the day is for teachers to collaboratively work to prepare their lessons for the remainder of the week and professional development. A couple of things with the hybrid model. Again, we are looking at assigning a remote teacher for each of the grade levels. And those remote teachers, we are looking at, and this will all be dependent on numbers, we are looking at whether or not we can assign the hybrid students that are home and remote on opposite days, the remote teacher. I know that we've talked before about that option, and we've also talked about the option of live streaming into the classroom. That's really going to be dependent on numbers. It's going to be dependent on staff, and it's also going to be dependent on grade levels. So it's a little bit easier to do that in fourth and fifth grade, to be able to assign a remote teacher to teach those students that are remote 100% and in the hybrid model. In sixth and seventh grade, that does get a little more challenging because the teachers are content specific. So it really is going to depend on the amount of staff that we have available to be able to shift the students around, and also the amount of students that are going to be remote versus hybrid. But those are options that we're looking at in terms of providing instruction. In terms of the in terms of the hybrid model, the students are still going to be following a typical schedule, whether they are in person or hybrid. In person or remote. So on Monday and Tuesday, they will follow their typical in-person schedule. And on Thursday and Friday, when they are home, they will still follow that same schedule. They will still be, attendance still will be taken. There will be live lessons that are going, they will have to check into and follow along with assignments that need to be completed. So I think it's very important for everyone to really understand that this is something where the students really do have to follow a typical school day schedule, whether they're at home or in the hybrid, I keep saying hybrid model, I'm sorry, whether they are in school or at home. So in terms of the in-person learning, let me go to the third group of students. Those students are high need students that will be in person 5 days a week. And those students, it will be invite only in terms of which students will be asked to be in person for 5 days a week. That will be based on students' IEPs, 504 plans, ELL students, high need students in terms of those students that were either in the MTSS process in the spring or had challenges with remote learning in the spring. And those conversations are being had now, and there will be discussions with families about who will be determined as far as who will be in person 5 days a week. Going back to the in-person learning and some of the logistics in terms of what a typical day will look like for those students who are in person 5 days a week or in person for their 2 days in the hybrid model. Arrival and dismissal will obviously be slightly different because we are expecting that there's going to be more people that are going to be dropped off and picked up each day. And as you know, at Whiten, we do not have a lot of on-site parking. Therefore, it does make it a little challenging for us to spread people out. So all of this information will be shared as we get closer to the school year, but we are looking at having each grade level exit and enter through separate doors. And we're also looking at grade levels, so fourth and fifth grade drop off and pick up on one side of the building, and sixth and seventh grade on the other side of the building. And again, as we get closer to the start of the school year, I will have more details on what arrival and dismissal will look like. Once the students enter the building, in past years, the students either went to the cafeteria or the gym, depending on their grade level. All students will be going to their home rooms. And they will be assigned to their cohorts that they will stay with for the remainder of the day. Homeroom will begin, or school will begin with homeroom, and then the students will carry on with their typical school day. Breakfast will be served on the cart, just like it has been in the past, but we will be working on different procedures to make sure that there's not a line like there typically is in the morning, so that students can have their breakfast and not have to stand in a line in the hallway. Breakfast is going to be in the classroom like it typically is in the mornings, and lunch is also going to be in the classroom. We're not going to be using the cafeteria for lunches as well. We're going to be designating restrooms for each of the grade levels to be sure that there's social distancing and that grade levels are not crossing paths. So we're really going to be separating cohorts, separating grade levels throughout the day. Let me see what else in terms of the hybrid model.
While you're on the, Leanne, while you're on the subject of drop-off.
Yes.
Just because this is, could you just go through the time?
Okay.
Yeah.
So as of right now, we are looking at starting our day at the same time as we typically do. So 7:40 is the start of the school day. Students need to be in their homeroom by 7:40. The only difference that we are looking into, and this is all going to be dependent on bus routes and how many buses there will be, typically the students can be dropped off as early as 7:15. And that is when students on a nice day, they may stay outside for a few minutes, and then we let them go into the cafeteria and the gym. Because we're not allowed to have the students in the gym in the cafeteria, and the students do have to go to homeroom, we may be adjusting the time that students are going to be allowed into the building. So it may not be as early as 7:15. It may be closer to that 7:30 time, which is when we would typically dismiss the students to their homeroom anyway. So that information will be forthcoming, but we're not looking at drastic changes for arrival and start time. And as far as dismissal is concerned, our school day will still end at 2:05. However, it is going to take us longer to do dismissal because we can't have all grades leaving at the same time. So we will be starting a few minutes early to ensure that we have the hallways cleared as each grade level is called. As far as classrooms are concerned, and as far as masks being worn, when students are in person in the building, they are to wear their masks 100% of the time, all grade levels. It is required that they do wear their masks. We will be building in mask breaks throughout the day. That's going to be worked on per teacher and within the grade level. And we will have designated areas throughout the campus for different grade levels to go for their mask breaks. So right now what we're looking at is fourth and fifth grade have a really long morning of ELA and math blocks. So we're looking at having a mask break in between those two blocks. And it will break up the day for them. It will give them some fresh air, and it will give them time to have their masks off. And then sixth and seventh grade, we are also looking at when are the best times to have those mask breaks. But for sixth and seventh grade, they actually have their lunches are a bit earlier than the fourth and fifth grade. And lunchtime is obviously considered a mask break because they're not going to be wearing their masks while they're eating. I'm sure some of them are going to try to do that, but so we're looking at the afternoon when we can build in those breaks, because their afternoon is a little bit longer than the fourth and fifth grade. So it's really just looking at each grade level specifically, and they're working with the teachers on what would be best in terms of mask breaks. Another thing that was talked about at Taft, and same procedure at Whiten is, in terms of hand sanitizer, there's just like at Taft, there's going to be a ton of hand sanitizer stations throughout the building. There will be one in each classroom, and there will be several in hallways as well. There will be one at each of the entrances and exits. And it is expected that students are sanitizing as they walk into the building, sanitizing as particularly for sixth and seventh grade as they enter and exit each class as they're switching classes. So that's going to be something that we need to educate the students on and making sure that they understand obviously the importance of it and the expectation around that. And as far as classrooms are concerned, the layout of the classroom will be where students' desks are going to be 6 feet apart. Students are expected that they adhere to the social distancing while they're in the classroom. Lockers are going to be limited. We are going to be assigning lockers to each of the students, but they will not be going to their lockers. Fourth and fifth grade will not be going to their locker except for the morning to put their bag and their coats, and then get their lunch, and then at the end of the day. For sixth and seventh grade, they will not be having locker times in between classes or in between a few classes. They're actually going to be allowed to bring their backpacks to each of their classes. So there really is no need except for them to put their coats in when the weather does get cool. There's no need for them to be utilizing their lockers throughout the day. I'm going to stop right now for just a moment and just ask Mr. Irving if there's anything in terms of the three models that I missed right now, and then I will go on to a few other important points. Patrick, do you mind unmuting Greg?
I have to, I'm sorry.
Yeah, all set. Try it again, Greg.
Here we go, thank you. No, Leanne, I thought you covered all the points with the three models. I think a couple of areas, just to talk a little bit more about the backpacks and how we're gonna have the kids taking them with them into the classrooms. The fourth and fifth graders especially have them on the back of their seats and use that kind of as their storage for their Chromebooks and personal belongings, things like that, so that the lockers won't be used as much. And then you also might want to talk a little bit about how we are going to be doing the recess and the flex periods, taking the kids outside, so that's understood too.
Yes, thank you, Greg. That's actually the next few items on the list. So okay. I did want to just take a break and have you sort of absorb the information that I just shared with you and make sure that I didn't miss anything. Mr. Irving certainly does a nice job of assisting me because there's an awful lot that needs to be shared. So thank you, Greg. The next thing is we'll talk about recess. There will be recess for fourth and fifth grade, and we are still working on putting in a flex time for sixth and seventh grade, which is like a recess time as well. Students are going to their cohorts, so their homeroom classes will have designated areas around the field. We have a very large space out in the back there where we can designate cohorts to be out in the field. So we are able to do recess. We're able to have it at a typical time that we normally would have it. Just the students would are going to have designated areas for recess time. In terms of specials, students are going to have specials, just like they we're going to have the same offerings as we've had in the past. However, for fourth and fifth grade, we are doing a similar rotation, a similar schedule to Taft, where the students are going to have one special for a 6 week rotation. So one homeroom for fourth grade will have art, one homeroom for fifth grade will have art as well, and they will have art for either 4 or 5 days a week for the 6 weeks. And then after the 6 week rotation, after the 6 weeks is over, then they will get another special. For sixth and seventh grade, the students are going to have two specials like they typically would pre-pandemic. And they, so in the hybrid model, the students would have, let's say music on a Monday in person and PE on Tuesday in person. And then their Wednesday and Thursday time that they would typically have the their unified arts class or their specials class, they will have assignments for both music and PE that they will be completing independently. As far as, so the two classes that the sixth and seventh graders are going to have and be assigned, they will be on either an 8-week rotation or for the trimester, which is typically how we schedule the classes anyway. So pre-pandemic, a sixth and a seventh grader would get two specials per trimester. And then after the trimester is over, they would get their next set of specials. So we're either looking at it being in 8 weeks or extending that depending on what the changes are after the 8 weeks, after the first 8 weeks. So that's going to be a fluid situation as well. But just to share with all of you that the students 4 through 7 will all have an opportunity to have specials classes. And then I know that there's a lot of questions around what does that Wednesday look like. So Wednesday for the hybrid students is going to be completely remote. It's going to be a half day of asynchronous learning in the morning, or synchronous learning in the morning. We're working on as teacher leaders and the building leaders on what that Wednesday will look like. So we have a lot of options for what we could do. If it was a typical Wednesday half day schedule, the students would have all of their classes just in a shortened period of time. So we could do that, or we could provide some exploratory opportunities on that Wednesday. We could provide advisory type, SEL type activities during that day, since everyone's going to be remote except for the high need students. We could also provide support during that, during those hours. And then we're also looking at during that morning on a Wednesday of providing band and chorus remotely, because we cannot, based on the guidance that is provided to us from DESE, we cannot have live band and, or I shouldn't say live, in-person band and chorus classes because of the nature of the class. So we are looking at continuing to have somewhat of a band and chorus opportunities for the students for the fall, and it would be remote, and we're looking at doing that on a Wednesday since everyone would be remote. Okay, so let me go to some important dates. So the first important date is, it looks like, and this hasn't been approved yet, but they are going to be voting on this at the school committee meeting tomorrow evening, but it looks like the start of the school year will be September 17th. So keep that in the back of your mind, and you'll hear more about that, but we're looking at September 17th as the start for everyone. We're also currently working on cohorts for the hybrid model. So students do need to be assigned either the cohort A, which will be in person on Monday and Tuesday, or cohort B, which will be in person on Thursday and Friday. We are working on assigning those as we speak. And as you can imagine, that's an extremely challenging task. And it is going to take a bit of time to make sure that we are honoring people's requests, that we are adhering to families who have multiple children in different buildings, making sure that they're on the same schedule, and making sure that our classes are balanced. So there's a lot of work that's going to be going into creating those cohorts. So we're looking at a September 5th date of getting those cohorts out to families. And I will tell you that I know that that seems like it doesn't give you a lot of time to plan. But again, just understand that this is an extremely challenging task and it's going to take a little bit of time. But again, as I mentioned at the start of the meeting, it's very important that you get your you complete the survey, because it will be extremely challenging for us to make cohorts if we don't have 100% participation in that survey and people don't choose the model that they're going with for the first 8 weeks of school. Another date that hasn't been set yet, I'm working on it with Mr. Missler, but we are going to be looking at the end of August, beginning of September for the Chromebook distribution. Again, a reminder that we are a one-to-one school, or will be a one-to-one school starting this school year. So all students 4 through 7 will have their own Chromebook. They will be distributed either at the end of August, beginning of September. We'll have that information out to you as to what the dates are and how we're going to be doing distribution. But those Chromebooks are going to obviously be utilized whether the students are fully remote or they're in the hybrid model or they're fully in person. Those students are expected to bring those Chromebooks to school on a regular basis. They're expected that they're going to be utilizing them when they are at home. They're expected to have them fully charged when they come into school. All of these expectations are going to be laid out for the students at the beginning of the school year. But I did want to share with you to be looking out for the end of August, beginning of September for distributing the Chromebooks. The last date, and again, we don't have a definitive date right now, but we are going to be, hosting grade level orientations as well. And we're looking at those to be at the beginning of September as well. One question that came up in the last meeting at Taft, a similar question for Whiten as well. Will the remote students have an opportunity to have an in-person orientation? And we are working on that to allow for that if parents are comfortable coming into the building, having their students meet their teacher, whether it's going to be their remote teacher or their in-person teacher. So we're working on setting up times for there to be grade level orientations. One of the priorities for those orientations are the fourth grade students, because they are brand new to Whiten, and it's critically, critically important that we are able to have those students in to become familiar with the building, to become familiar, to even just see some of the faces of teachers and staff members. So that is going to be a top priority, to be sure that we have an orientation for our incoming fourth graders. And then I think I covered everything as far as my sort of spiel. It's a lot of talking, but certainly a lot of information. So Greg, at this point, is there anything else that I haven't covered that would be good to share right now? And then we can look at going through some of the questions.
It might be good to talk a little bit about the report cards, progress reports, how we're going to be following this at schedule, similar to last year with getting the report cards out for all students in some fashion, and maybe a little bit more about recess, how recess is going to be, what the kids will be allowed to do, what they won't be allowed to do, and how recess is going to operate, and flex period for that matter for the 6 and 7s.
Okay, so I'll talk a little bit about the report cards and progress reports and grading. So I mentioned this already, and it's important to repeat that no matter if you your child is in 100% remote or in the hybrid model or in person 100% of the time, whatever cohort they're in, there is going to be accountability. No matter what grade they're in, it is expected that they are completing work, that grades are going to be given. It's not going to be just feedback like they received in the spring. Students are going to be getting grades. They're either going to be graded using a rubric, they're either going to be graded traditional grading like in 6th and 7th grade, and report cards are going to be issued at the end of the trimester, like we typically would do in any given school year. The only thing, the dates will just need to be adjusted because we are starting 10 days later. But we're still going to go with halfway through the trimester, students will be receiving progress reports. And then at the end of trimester one, the students will be given report cards. And the report cards will look the same as they have in past years. Fourth and fifth grade are standards-based report cards, and sixth and seventh grade are letter grades. As far as recess is concerned, Mr. Irving and I are working with the PE department to not only look at what our PE classes are going to look like in the curriculum that we're going to cover, but also what recess time is going to look like. So we're going to be laying out what the expectations are going to be around recess and what can and can't be done during that time. There is guidance that does say that if students are outside and they're at least 10 feet apart, that they can take off their masks. So that can be an option if they're playing, they're doing some kind of an activity where they can stay, 10 feet apart, they can take off their masks. We are going to be limiting the use of shared equipment. It's not out of the realm of possibility of not being able to use shared equipment, particularly in PE, but we're really looking at activities and we're looking at our curriculum for PE and then the activities that we can suggest to students at recess that don't allow for shared equipment. And then I think you just put something in the chat. I can't read the whole thing. Okay. So, right, the PE and the nurses are working together, and they're actually working together in conjunction with Taft to come up with plans for what the students can do during that time. I think at this time, if we want to go with some of the questions in the chat, Mr. Rubin?
We have a lot of questions for the interpreter. I'm Mike Rubin. I'm the principal of the high school, just moderating the questions. There are a lot more questions than we're going to be able to get to, so I'm going to do my best to chunk them, but we will provide answers to all of them on a FAQ doc in the next mm-hmm. couple of days. I'm going to chunk some of these questions.
Christy also has a question. I don't know if she was supposed to put in a chat, but she does have a question.
That would be great. That would be fabulous. Thank you. So there was
can I ask it right now, or should we? Actually, I'm just going to ask it real quick. For lunch, are we supposed to be bringing paper bags?
The students can bring their own lunch if they choose to. We are going to be completely peanut free within the entire building because the students are going to be eating lunch in their own classrooms, but it can be their own lunch bag or a paper bag. There's no guidance that says that they can't use their own lunchbox.
Great. And I have one more follow-up, just to the two follow-up questions. So so talking about the high needs students, so they're expected to go to school the 5 days a week, which I completely understand. But if, say, I decide to send him for the private, the hybrid section, would that be a conflict because he would be a high need student?
That would be something that we could work on within the IEP team, his IEP team, and determine what would be best for him. And you would obviously be a part of that decision making.
Okay, yeah, great. I'll contact the IEP team for that.
Yes.
So, Ms. DeMarco, there are some questions about cohorting, cohort assignments, and switching cohorts. So first of all, I think there are some questions about when cohort notification will happen and if there's a way to request a cohort or to request that siblings be in the same or even different cohorts. And also, if we could talk a little bit about not only how you're going to be working out cohort assignments and requests, but also the binding nature of the choice. in that, you know, when students right now are choosing remote, how long they're in remote for, and if there's going to be an opportunity to change.
Okay. So as was indicated on the survey, when you do complete the survey, that choice that you make for your student within that survey is for the first eight weeks of school. So the students are going to be locked into that that choice for the first 8 weeks of school. In terms of cohorts, first, in terms of requesting a particular cohort, parents can email me directly if you have a specific request. I'm going to do my best to honor those requests, but as you can imagine, there's 500 or so students that we have to schedule. So this is where it I struggle between the parent and me and the principal and me, and you know, understanding that everyone has different circumstances. So I'm going to absolutely do my best, and Mr. Irving's going to do our best to honor those requests. So if you do have a request, there have been parents that have already shared their request with me. Please do so in an email. As far as if there aren't any specific requests, we really are going to be looking at making sure that we follow the same process that we would if we were placing students for a typical school year. So we balance the classes of reading levels, we balance the classes of math levels to make sure that they're heterogeneously grouped. And we're going to be sure that we do that to the best of our ability within the cohorts as well.
Yeah, and to define cohort is, you know, whether you're in school, what days you're in school and with whom, essentially. And that's when people will also find out about classroom teachers and
correct. So September 5th, right. Yep.
The goal. There's also a question, speaking of, you know, and I think this is something any of us can answer, but to get more into the nitty gritty of some of the precautions we are taking at 6 foot distancing, what the number of students that are in a room at 6 foot distancing, and despite all of our procedures, how often we're sanitizing desks, and then what do we do? What are our procedures if somebody is symptomatic?
So the first question is, with 6 feet apart, that we can fit roughly between 12 and 13 students in the classroom. Is that correct, Greg? You've been doing a lot of work around that. So
anywhere 12 to 13.
Yeah, 12 to 13 students in a classroom. And most classrooms, I should say most grades, particularly in fourth and fifth grade, have about 20 students on their roster. So if all 20 students were to go hybrid, then it would be 10 for cohort A and 10 for cohort B. We know that there is going to be a number of students that are going to be completely remote, so those numbers are going to be smaller. So we're looking at being able to certainly fit the amount of students for each of the cohorts. I have been doing good remembering multiple questions at one time, but nope, not right now. What was the second question?
About precautions and
okay.
You know, what we're doing to mitigate some of the challenges, things like the sanitation of desks between sections, or how often things are being sanitized. And on top of that, if there, and I can answer the second part, which was about, you know, criteria to trigger a transition from remote to hybrid, or hybrid to remote, or in-person to not. We don't have a specific number right now.
Right. And
quite honestly, some of the protocols that we've been asked to follow regarding mitigation of someone who's symptomatic, they were updated and we got them 3 hours ago. So we really have to review what to do in the case of someone who is symptomatic. But each of our schools do have a procedure. If you want to go through Whiten's, if someone is sick and where they're going and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So we have, we've been working very closely with our school nurse, Ms. Gauthier. She has been fantastic. And Greg and I we talk to her almost daily. in regards to protocols that we need to be sure that we put in place and making sure that we are thinking about all of these steps. If you've been into Whiten and you know where the nurses station is, it is off the main office, and then it is in a section where it has multiple other small offices, which is the guidance suite. We're actually moving the guidance suite to another part of the building, and that entire area there is going to be the nurses station, the quarantine area, and the housing of PPE and all of that. So we have a section there that if a student or a staff member is symptomatic, they will be quarantined into that area until they are able to leave. The other question was in regards to sanitizing in between classes or sanitizing desks and all of that. The protocols throughout the entire building are going to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Hyde, I'm trying to do a good job of remembering all of these facilities protocols, but there's high touch areas are going to be sanitized 3 times a day. And then all classrooms are going to be sanitized after school in the evening prior to the next day. In terms of students switching classes, so you have to remember that we have multiple mitigation strategies that the students and the staff are going to be utilizing. Obviously, the first one is wearing masks all day. The second one is sanitizing frequently. So we are going to be asking students as they enter a classroom, particularly in sixth and seventh grade when they're switching classes, that they sanitize as they enter the classroom and that they sanitize when they leave the classroom. All classrooms are going to be equipped with a sanitizing station along with a large bottle of sanitizer that the teachers can, once the sanitizing station is empty, that they can just fill it up right away. Another thing that we're looking at is rearranging the furniture. Actually just had a conversation with Mr. Hyde just before this meeting about rearranging the furniture where even though there may be only say 12 to 13 students in a class, we may keep multiple desks in there so that way students in cohort A, or I shouldn't even say cohort A, so students in ELA first period are sitting at a different desk than the students in ELA in the second period. Another thing that we're looking at and we're going to recommend that that students can do if they're comfortable, and this is something that you would talk to your students about. I know that I'm doing this for my own kids. I'm buying small packages of hand sanitizing wipes that the students can put into, that my kids can put into their backpacks and they can have. And if they, I'm recommending that they wipe down their desk as they, come into the classroom. And I know that Mr. Rubin and I talked about that as something, where there's going to be those shared spaces. Is there anything else, Mr. Hyde, that I may have missed in terms of the sanitizing portion? He's on.
Sorry, there. Pencil DeMarco. No, you did a great job. High touch areas have been identified. They are all door handles, light switches, handrails, drinking fountains, sink handles, restroom surfaces, cafeteria surfaces, and elevator buttons. They'll be done 3 times a day, and the ventilation system's great, operating well, so we're good.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Hyde. So I know that there's probably several other questions, Mr. Rubin, but I did want to honor the fact that it's getting close to the time for the start of your town hall, and I know that you have to go to it, and that there are some parents that are probably going to be attending as well. So what I can do is I can take down those questions, or you can share those with me, Mr. Rubin, and I can we can get those out to everyone in a list, FAQ list.
Yeah, I'm going to paste them into a doc. There are a lot of questions. I've started to to type some of them. I can go through kind of rocket fire a couple of them.
Okay.
One is because it's consistent between all of our buildings. What kind of masks are allowed? There's a lot of latitude on that, so long mm-hmm. as a cloth mask. There are some exceptions that are made, but they have to be documented medically. And mm-hmm. so there aren't a lot of exceptions around masks. We have done air quality and temperature tests of classrooms, both with respect to all of our ventilation and filters. There's been a lot of work done on that. In terms of hiring or using different cleaning staff, we've really worked, I think, in all three of our buildings to make sure that we have the high touch areas covered. In terms of things like water fountains, the bubblers themselves are going to be shut off.
Mm-hmm.
Water filling stations are going to be available for kids to refill bottles. There were some questions that you'll have to follow up with about like just the number of mask breaks, and some folks who are wondering about availability of hotspots and distribution of bus passes, and some very specific questions about promotion and from one grade level to the next. Okay. And so I know that there's quite a lot of all of that. And for some reason, I gotta go because for some reason the high school meeting was not sent out. A couple people have said they haven't got the high school link, so I'm gonna try and send that out again. I sent it this morning, but I'll go send that out again.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Rubin. Thank you, everyone. I do apologize that I'm not able to answer all of the questions right now. Obviously, there's so many questions. I certainly appreciate that. And I will do my best to get those questions answered. But please don't hesitate to contact myself or Mr. Irving. We are certainly here to help you. You know, we're in this together. We're going to figure this out together. We're going to do what's best for the kids. And that's really what it comes down to. Please don't feel like you are bothering us, that you're, you know, asking too many questions. This is my job. This is what I do. I'm here to support you and to support the kids in making these decisions and reopening schools in the fall. So thank you very much, everyone, and have a great evening.
Bye.
Thank you.